the Financial Sense Lifetime Planning Program. Here's your host, Jim Poplava.
Well, it is that time of the year when people think about charitable giving, tax deductions, things of that nature. And that's going to be the subject. And we're going to talk about charitable giving, philanthropy. Joining us on the program is Betsy Brill. She's with Strategic Philanthropy. And Betsy, we've seen a growing wealth disparity in this country. And I think inflation only aggravates that. So if you have money, you can invest in the stock market, you can buy real estate, you can benefit from inflation. But if you're barely getting by, Betsy, you don't have the money to benefit from inflation. So, you know, those that are fortunate to have a lot of funds can really make a difference in helping those less fortunate. Let's talk about various options that an individual has. So, you know, you can like give to your church, you can give to some kind of charity, like a one-time gift. But let's also talk about the other options. Like one of my favorites that I love is you take somebody that has huge capital gains. You know, maybe they bought Apple or Google 10 years ago, and a charitable remainder trust, how they can avoid paying the tax, get out of it, and then enhance themselves, but also a charity after they pass on.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think, Jim, you're all too aware of the growing utilization of donor advised funds. And as you're suggesting, there's the charitable remainder trust, there are donor advised funds. We continue to see growth in private foundations, but it's generally that kind of trigger event, whether it's capital gains or the coming into inheritance, or it's the sale of a business or a partial sale, that prompts people to seize the opportunity to become more charitable. But the challenge is that you can set up these vehicles, but devoid of having a plan, having a sense of where, when, and how, and to whom, makes it quite overwhelming for a lot of people. And this is a time when, you know, frankly, advisors of all stripes, financial, legal, tax, can really open up that conversation because, you know, after all, everyone wants to leave a footprint, both, you know, during life and as part of their legacy. And everyone, and I really believe this, wants to share the value of giving back with their family. But it's not that easy.
I want to ask you a question, and we read about this in the news. What is it about super wealthy people? And I'm thinking of Warren Buffett, Bill Gates, Jeff Bezos, you know, Mark Zuckerberg, that they've announced intentions that they're leaving the majority of their wealth to their foundation or charity versus just keeping it. What is it about that instead of going to their kids? Is it because they've seen what happens, that wealth can maybe destroy work incentives and things like that of their heirs?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that particularly the individuals that you've named, but there are many others who might not be at that very top tier, but just down a little bit. And even families who, you know, whose net worth is $10 million and above, have all said to themselves, you know, they've asked the question, how much is enough to give to my kids so we can help them invest in a successful future for themselves and their families? And then how much becomes toxic? How much of it ends up, as you say, Jim, you know, destroying a sense of work ethic or becoming, you know, the old story of a trust fund baby, right? Who really doesn't have the motivation to participate in his or her life in a productive way. And I think that it's not just about trying to catalyze that kind of healthy lifestyle for their children, but it's also helping children think about the value of money and how best to steward it. So it's no longer about, you know, having the yearly allocations from a trust fund, but it's about having those early conversations with your children. And this step is often missed about the wealth that they're going to come in to, that they'll need to steward, and the expectation about giving back. So I think it's a whole confluence of concerns and opportunities that parents have about their children's well-being.
And when you look at this, you know, there's various methods of charitable giving. I mean, you know, you just think of somebody that attends church, that puts money in the basket every Sunday. There's one-time gifts you make at the end of the year, which you get a tax deduction. And it's one of the few things that are left that you can deduct on your tax return because they've limited the SALT deductions. Let's talk about the various avenues. Let's talk about outright gifts, a charitable remainder trust, foundation, and advisor funds. So let's take each one of those, if you would.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, an outright gift, to be honest, in this moment in time is probably the gift that nonprofits would love, right? And particularly if it's for general operating support, that really trusts the organization to know how best to put those funds to work in service of their mission. So getting the money out the door, I mean, I want to add in here, Jim, and I'll get to the other vehicles and mechanisms, but I think in these times, we are seeing increased conversation about the movement towards sunsetting charitable entities. So no longer is it the assumption that charitable entities will exist in perpetuity, but rather wealth holders are saying to themselves, if not now, when? There is so much going on around us, whether it's the environment or whether it's, as I said earlier, food insecurity, healthcare disparities, even research into finding a cure for Alzheimer's that is affecting so many of us. I mean, we're in a profound moment in time, and I'm not talking politically at all. I'm just talking about the realities of the state of this country and the world. I think we're on a precipice that causes all of us to deeply invest in maintaining the health and well-being of our planet and its people. So when we talk about outright gifts, I also want to say more flow of philanthropic capital should be considered this year and in subsequent years. So the mandatory 5% payout out of a private foundation, if you have a private foundation, go up to 10%. Think about why it's important to warehouse your endowment. Why? To what end? If it is that you want to pass on, as I said earlier, the value and the ethos of giving back to future generations, and in some instances, hope that your family will sit together around a philanthropic table, that's a wonderful goal. But you have to sort of look at that in the context of where we are in the world, what we're all seeing in the newspapers. I mean, we have a food pantry, Jim, a block away, and the line for that food pantry is the longest I have ever seen. And how can you not be affected by that? So the question about time horizon now, in all of these vehicles, is a pertinent one, and one that advisors should be posing to their clients. So outright gifts, you've got your private foundation, you have to give away 5%, but think about giving away more and reconsider whether or not there's a useful time horizon and give more money away during your lifetime versus having it get catalyzed in your estate plan and when you pass away. The other is you talked about charitable remainder trust, Jim, and we've seen, you know, over our 23-year history of working with clients and their trusted advisors that often people express charitable intent in their estate plans. And I would say, you know, high net worth and ultra high net worth families and individuals and couples do have a charitable element in their estate plan. But I will say 6 out of 10 times that piece of their estate plan is not well thought through. So we have this box. That's a charitable remainder trust, the charitable side. Have clients really thought through what it is that they want to support and what would be a meaningful, as I said earlier, footprint to leave in the world with their donor advised fund? Have they thought through who the successor advisors will be? And again, getting down on paper, you know, God forbid we get any of us gets hit by a bus tomorrow. Is your intent expressed? Have you thought through a plan? And have you given that to your successors and discussed that with them? So I will say that you can utilize a myriad of vehicles, but if they're to land in your estate plan, this is a great opportunity for advisors of all stripes to ask the question, do you have a plan? Might it be helpful for you to have a professional, a philanthropic advisor around the table with you, along with your estate planning attorney, your financial advisor, and your tax advisor, so that that part of your life gets the attention that it deserves?
You know, you just mentioned something that's really key, and that is if you are fortunate to have a rather large estate, you know, there's the estate tax things that come up. But also, when you have that and you do want to make charitable gifts, it takes some strategic planning, thinking through what I want to accomplish with this money. Who do I want to benefit? And that's something that takes some planning rather than that's why I like sort of just outright gifts when it comes to the end of the year. You can pick a charity, it's done. But when you're thinking about something strategically with large amounts of wealth, that takes planning. And I wonder if you'd do this for me, Betsy. When does it make sense to have a charitable trust versus a foundation? Is it a matter of the degree of money that is being given away or transferred?
Jim, you know what? That's more your domain and the domain of an estate planning attorney. We're pretty clear with our clients and their advisors that we stay in our lane. We're purely our, you know, philanthropic advisors, but not tax, financial, legal advisors. So I'm not sure I'm the right person to be asked that question. I think you're probably better positioned to at least give some insights around that. I will say that more and more people are choosing donor advised funds because of the ease of use and the fact that there isn't a significant amount of administration involved. So we're seeing, as I'm sure that everybody who might be listening and you know, Jim, Fidelity Charitable is one of the largest charities in the country. So we're talking about billions of dollars that are in donor advised funds. And frankly, there's a little concern in the sector about the extent to which people make a decision to a donor advised fund 1 year, 2 years, 3 years in a row, and the money sits there. And the question becomes, isn't this a great opportunity to every year gather around the family table and say, you know what, let's take $2,500 as a family and involve kids, involve the grandkids, and let's all decide together what issue carefully about this year that we'd like to make some positive impact around. And then, frankly, have the next generation go and do some research online. They're fabulous. They're much better than I am at that. And have them come back to the family at the next family gathering. Maybe it's birthday celebration or Christmas Day or whatnot. And recommend some organizations and them involved in the annual wonderful opportunity to give back.
Well, it's such a great time of the year to be thinking about this. But, you know, my advice, just coming from an advisor, if you're looking for year-end tax deductions, maybe you're saying, oh, my goodness, I'm facing a big tax bill. You know, an outright gift is probably the simplest. You'll get the tax deduction. But if you're really thinking longer term, hey, I've got an incredible amount of wealth. I'd like to make a difference. That's where you really want to talk to somebody like yourself, your advisor, your tax planner and plan what you want to do rather than just at the last minute, I need a tax deduction. Betsy, as we close, if our listeners would like to find out of what you do in strategic philanthropy, how you help these families make these charitable contributions, how could they do so, please?
Well, we're a philanthropic advisory firm. We've been in business for 23 years and have had the privilege to work with so many generous and passionate donors. We help clients wherever they are. They might just be creating a vehicle. As Jim said, it could be a donor advised fund, a private foundation, or just writing checks out of your checkbook. We help clients create that philanthropic framework. What are you passionate about? What are your values? In what geographic areas do you want to engage in your philanthropy? Who would you like around the table with you? Friends, colleagues, family? Or are you just going to do it alone as a couple or as an individual? So that upfront critical planning is very important to have that roadmap. And then we also work with clients past that startup stage where people might have hit a bump in the road or have had some kind of trigger event that capitalizes an already existing philanthropic vehicle and brings it to a new level so that clients have to start thinking more deeply about, wow, I had $2,500 last year, but suddenly I've got $200,000 I have to get out the door. How do I best go about that? How do I identify organizations? How do I do diligence? So on and so forth. And if they're at a point where the next generation is about ready to start having a meaningful conversation with the family about giving back, we're very involved in that aspect of philanthropy, bringing along the next generations. And, you know, those are just a couple of examples of trigger events that might catalyze a client coming to us. The other is, as I mentioned earlier, estate giving or legacy giving. We work oftentimes with clients that have significant charitable intent expressed in their estate and help them create a plan for that. And we always encourage clients to get started during life. And then finally, we also, Jim, manage and house philanthropic organizations. And what I mean by that is that we serve as de facto staff and ongoing philanthropic counsel for those clients that are giving away significant capital on an annual basis, but minus the tax and the legal. So we're philanthropic experts. So if you have a philanthropic pain point or opportunity, that's where we join the advisor table to make sure that that aspect of clients' lives is successful.
And Betsy, do you have a website that you can give out if you would do that, please?
Sure. It's www.sratphilanthropy.com.
All right. Well, listen, Betsy, I want to wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year, and I hope to talk to you again this year or next year at this time. All the best.
All the best, Jim. Thanks so much.
The Financial Sense News Hour is for informational and educational purposes only and should not be considered as a solicitation or offer to purchase or sell any securities. The investments, investment strategies, and investment philosophies discussed or presented on the News Hour each involve their own unique risk factors, which are not discussed on the show. Responses to listener inquiries are based on the personal opinions of the Financial Sense staff and do not take into account listener suitability, objectives, or risk tolerance. Financial Sense News Hour and its parent company shall not be liable for any financial losses that result from investing in any companies mentioned in Financial Sense or arising out of the use of any material on the News Hour. Please be advised that you invest at your own risk.